Hearing the scriptures some days is like a storyline from Star Wars. The second reading this afternoon sounded like a real intergalactic battle, full of fire and destruction. Where do we hide? When does it all happen? It's good that we can be relieved to learn from scholars that all of this is imaginative language. But since those writers penned those descriptions over 2,000 years ago, we have discovered how to turn their nightmares into reality. We today have come into the nuclear age. The scripture writers that we heard today were not predicting a nuclear holocaust, but rather a new beginning for humankind. They are describing the day of the Lord, which inaugurates a new heaven and a new earth. Theirs was a script for divine intervention. We are talking about a blueprint for human destruction. Is it possible that the human race itself has now become an endangered species? We celebrate Advent now, the time of coming. What is coming? Is Christ coming? Will the Lord return dramatically to save us? Is the end coming? Is there any kind of hope? Do we have the kind of hope that the psalmist predicts today? That there shall be a time of justice and peace? Can we believe the beautiful words of Isaiah this evening? Comfort, give comfort to my people. What kind of comfort is there for us today in this time of waiting in Advent? There is hope. There are four different kinds of theories about the future held by theologians and historians, and all four of their views are the efforts of intelligence and faith that try to pierce into the veil of tomorrow. And what do they come up with? We'll begin with the least acceptable and end with the most plausible view. The least acceptable theory is called fatalism. This assumes that our earth is doomed. The proponents of fatalism point out that we human beings have misused every single major invention. They remind us that the airplane put us in the sky, gave us the wings of eagles, and said from that height we throw down bombs and destroyed 140,000 people in Hiroshima without hearing a single scream. And some predict that within 20 years there will be at least 100 nations with nuclear power. And why would not one of them at least use that power recklessly? The second theory is called apocalyptic. It says that we are doomed, but that God is going to intervene. Now that is a theory propounded by evangelists like Billy Graham and many more like him, who thrive on fear and on guilt. And what are we to make of that argument or theory? It happens to be the kind of position that allows for no argument. But on the other hand, there are very good reasons for going slow and to take quite another viewpoint. First of all, the apocalyptic approach is based upon a literal interpretation of Holy Scripture. It is the viewpoint taken by those whom we call the fundamentalists. In reality, according to all the fine scripture scholars, there simply is no real timetable in the world's history to be found in scripture. All of the numbers found in the book of Revelation are symbolic. They are not to be taken literally. And secondly, the intervention of the living God in history has not occurred thus far in this kind of a dramatic fashion. The history of Israel, the event of the mystery of the incarnation, all seem to indicate that any kind of a bold, sudden appearance of the Lord does not ever seem to be the style of the living God. Jesus came among us almost unknown. And today in the Gospel, John the Baptist speaks about the one who comes after me in power, communicating his spirit little by little. The coming of the Lord is always a slow, gradual process. Even the resurrection did not burst upon the Roman world like a sunburst, but rather it was a conviction in faith that grew, a power that more and more lay hold of its believers. The third theory about the future of the world, about our prospects, is called messianic. It's much more acceptable. This one expects a glorious ending, literally a new earth. It is part, they say, of what we call the historical process. And for some evolutionists, it is the progressive unfolding of human life. For some progressives, it is the growth in human intelligence in which all of us are involved right now. And it just so happens that the most optimistic have found a spokesman in that great priest of the Roman Catholic Church, Father Teilhard de Chardin, who died in 1958. A great priest, a great scientist, a great poet. And he envisions the world as it has been for some time, first ringed with life, then ringed with knowledge, and the third and final ring is the ring of love and peace among all people. A growth in concentric circles from one into the other. We are probably somewhere in the middle of the second. The fourth theory is called prophetic. It says that the world will reach its goal of justice and peace if we humans will cooperate with the grace of God. If every woman and man will hear the word of God, respond to it, and continue in our roles as co-creators to bring the world to fruition, to completion, to its goal. And if we will stop being people to destroy, death dealers. Now this latter interpretation is the most appealing, with good reason. First of all, it respects our freedom. Secondly, it does not deny or ignore the providence of God. And what it does, it echoes our own experience. For instance, in every single Mass, Eucharist, that we celebrate, we have a reminder that the world is fashioned and moved forward little by little by God and by human intelligence. We people work with God hand in hand. Here at Mass, we are reminded, we take bread, and we declare in the prayer that this bread is the gift of God who made the entire earth fruitful. In the same prayer, we declare that the bread is now the work of human hands, We have taken the gift of God's wheat and turned it into bread for our nourishment. That's the way it has been all the while. We might say that the garden that the earth is, God's garden, was weeds until people came along and gradually cultivated it. The man is not God, but the living God lives in mankind, or rather in humankind. We people are moved by divine impulse. We people share the divine intelligence. And above all, we people share in the gifts of freedom and the power to love, the great gifts that God has given to us. And it is true that we do live today in apocalyptic times, and we ask, is there an answer? The answer is that we have to be the answer. Not trusting in ourselves alone, and not trusting in God alone, but rather to carry out the work of God in our own human lives, because God lives in us to bring about justice and peace. Already there have been more than 6,000 meetings on disarmament, and yet not a single bomb has been destroyed. There already has been a SALT treaty to limit nuclear arms. Other meetings are now in progress in Geneva. There is a United Nations that has repeatedly put out brush fires to stop a third world war. The United Nations should be supported by all of us. There are long-standing heroic organizations like Pax Christi and the Catholic Peace Fellowship that should be supported by us. And finally, we are organizing at diocesan and parish levels justice and peace commissions. Last Sunday in our own cathedral, our bishops and the leaders of all the churches of Oregon, 1,000 of them were present on Peace Sunday. Our worship experiences, our authentic prayer experiences, should always lead to some kind of social action, something to bring about justice and peace, no matter what it is we do in our neighborhood or in our heart. This is what the American bishops did last month at their annual convention. They said in one of the boldest statements in the history of American church that this is no longer a political issue. It is now, they said, a major moral issue. And in their bold statement, they said in effect that henceforth the American Roman Catholic Church is to be identified as the Peace Church, the Church of Peace, in practically speaking the same kind of tradition that the Quakers have. We then must become involved in subjects like human rights, the sufferings of our fellow human beings. What are we going to do to bring about a decent economic order? Remembering that to bring an end to famine is also to bring about peace. And tonight we're not talking about utopia. Rather, tonight we're talking about a question of survival, which has become a question of conscience for us Catholic people. Last Sunday and the entire season of Advent has been proclaimed by the American bishops as a season of peace to begin the new year. We are the children of God. And Jesus said, these people are the peacemakers.